الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحجاج والعمار وفد الله يعطيهم ما سألوا ويستجيب لهم ما دعوا ويخلف عليهم ما أنفقوا درهم بألف ألف درهم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama kiram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, from a point of view of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's supreme and extreme benevolence and kindness and compassion, from the month of right up to Zulhijjah, from the perspective of our Islamic calendar, constitutes a very great and important period of us acquiring the forgiveness, the mercy, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in fact the fundamental objective of my and your purpose in this world. Ulama-i kiram highlight this period on the basis of the fact that there are certain important a'mal and actions pertaining to our shariat and our deen that are exclusive to this period. For example, the farz fast of the month of Ramadan can only take place in Ramadan. You can't fast in Shawwal the farz fast of Ramadan. However, I'm just digressing. We are encouraged. There is a principle, man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. This is minimum protocol from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you give me one, I will give you 10. That's minimum. So if we take that into consideration, Ramadan, 29 or 30 days times 10 is 300 plus minus. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man saama Ramadan, ثم أتبعه ستة من شوال كان كصيام الدهر. He said that person who fasted in the month of Ramadan and then followed it up with 6 fasts in Shawwal. Underlying message, don't worship Allah only in Ramadan. Whether it's fasting, whether it's our salah, whether it's our tilawat of Quran, whether it's our zikrullah, this is the height of ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we restrict and confine our ibadah to the month of Ramadan. But nevertheless, like I said, 1 times 10. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in Shawwal, immediately when it starts, or throughout the month of Shawwal, we are given that allowance. Keep 6 fasts at least. So that also times 10, kana ka siyamid dahar, Allah will count you as if you fasted the entire year. But, as I mentioned, the first fast of Ramadan, confined and restricted to Ramadan. This period that we are entering now, this month of Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah. Again here, there are two very, very great acts of ibadat and worship that are confined to this period. There's no other time in the year that these acts of worship can be carried out. One, obviously in Zulhijjah, is the amal of wajib qurbani. And the other The fifth pillar of Islam, that of Hajj. Many of us have this mindset when it comes to Hajj, that Hajj is restricted or confined to those that are actually going for Hajj. However, we have to understand that our deen is a comprehensive deen and religion. And what constitutes a pillar of Islam cannot be confined to just a makhsus and a limited tabqa. When Allah Ta'ala speaks of Ka'batullah in the Quran, what does Allah tell us? Inna awwala bayt. Inna awwala bayt. Quran is Bahrullah Sahilalaw. It's a limitless ocean. And when it comes to this occasion or platform of Jumu'ah, unfortunately, it's a real battle against time to try to do justice. Just look at the selection of the manner in which this is presented. Inna. In other words, this is azim. This is important. Pay attention. And then look at eloquence of Quran. Awwala bayt. Awwal, first. This house was not constructed by any human being. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us. Allah sent down malaika from Allah, and the first construction of Ka'batullah took place by the malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first house, inna awwala bayt, Ka'batullah is masjid, Ka'batullah is qibla. Yet, Allah, out of His extreme compassion and kindness, out of cognizance for your and my psyche and mentality, Allah Ta'ala uses the word bayt, house. In other words, that which your heart turns towards, that which you find sukoon, that which you find tranquility in. Allah doesn't need a house. Allah is free of space, shape, time, color, direction. Allah is not confined by any of the measures that you and I employ based on our limited intellect. Allah is beyond anything that you and I can even imagine. So Allah doesn't need a house. Yet Allah says, inna awwala bayt, the first house. Ka'batullah, bayt, house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does Allah say? Wudhi'a lil hujjaj? No. Wudhi'a lil nas. Inna awwala bayt, wudhi'a lil nas. This Ka'batullah, this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not for the people of Makkah, not for the people of Jaziratul Arab only, not only for the Hujjaj and the Mu'tamirin. Wudhi'a lil nas, its barakat and its blessings are for the entire humanity. Inna awwala bayt, wudhi'a lil nas, lalladhi bi Makkah. Geographically, it is located in Makkah. Interestingly, if you want to look at it from a point of geology, they have discovered now that the center point of the earth is the point where Ka'batullah is. Inna awwala bayt wudhi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi Makkah mubarakan. Allah says anything associated with Ka'batullah, with Baytullah, with the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is barakah. It's full of blessings. Mubarakan, wahudan, and it is hidayat. Hidayat will start from there. Hidayat will spread from there. And hidayat for who? Again, not li jaziratil Arab, or for the people that are living there, or for those that go for Hajj and Umrah. Hudal lil alameen. Wudhi'a lin nas, hudal lil alameen. Allah says we placed it for the whole humanity, and it is hidayat for the entire alam. So it is important. One is the actual Hajj and Umrah. That masail, how it must be carried out, etc. Obviously, we are not going to discuss that, because majority of us, Allah knows best, are not immediately proceeding for Hajj and Umrah. But there are certain asbab. There are certain lessons. And this I have mentioned many, many times. Unfortunately for many of us, our ibadat, our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become rasam and riwaj. We are going through the motions, the haqaiq, the reality of those amal unfortunately have left our lives. For example, unfortunately you've got time constraints, but it is pertinent to what I am discussing. You ask anybody today, we worried about our youth. We worried about the challenges that they are facing. The immorality, Google, internet, the exposure to agnostic beliefs and ideologies. We are worried about the fact that the level of behayai, shamelessness, is on an unprecedented scale. The ability to distinguish between a man and a woman has left us. Basic morality is no more there. Nakedness is being presented as something that is acceptable. Human beings are behaving like animals. Now we are concerned. What about my children? How do I protect them? Allah, Allah, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. There is no one more truthful than my Allah. What does my Allah say? إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. O Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is kalamullah. This is وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ. This is the absolute truth. My Allah says, we have given you salah. Today we feel this Tabligh Jamaat call to house, person to person, to bring the ummah back to the masjid. We feel it is too simplistic. This is Quran that is telling us, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. Quran was revealed till Qiyamah. And for my Allah, something doesn't have to happen for Allah to come to know about it. Allah already knows. And Allah gave you and I a formula. Establish salah. And that salah will protect you from every form of fahsha, every form of shamelessness. Whatever the internet can throw at you, whatever artificial internet intelligence can throw at you, whatever quantum physics can throw at you, whatever this media can throw at you, whatever the systems of battle can throw at you, my Allah has said, solution, salah, salah, salah. Tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Problem? Salah is taking place to some extent. These things are still increasing. Is the Quran lying? Na'uzubillah, no. The salah we are making is not the salah that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam want. First thing, when Quran speaks about salah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about salah, when he encouraged sahaba to introduce salah in the life of children, what does it mean? If it is a male child, salah means salah in the masjid. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the munafiq, kaan khol kar sun lena, even a munafiq would make salah, not just any salah, isha salah and fajr salah in the masjid, because no sahabi regarded anyone as a Muslim if he was not in the masjid for salah. That type of salah. That type of salah. And when Allah says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا, command your family with salah, that 8, 9, today where's our youth? MashaAllah, heaps classes, you can't count the numbers. Muslim schools in numbers on an unprecedented scale, all that is in its place. But this entire age group from 15 to 35 is missing from the masjid. Where are they? At the time of Fajr, where are the youth? Okay, if it's Hifz class, then we see them. Other times we don't see them. What is this? We are failing today as parents in our obligation to introduce what salah in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the lives of our children. If your child, male child, is not coming to the masjid and you are not introducing that in the life of that child, practically you are not bringing him to the masjid, then don't rely on any Islamic institution and don't rely on any Hifz Ustad or don't rely on anybody else. You have failed in that which Allah has made farz upon you. This is just an example. It's not even the topic that I am talking about. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. What is this? Amal, the outward sign of deen will be there. अंदर खोखला होगा. इनसाइड विल बी अ शेल. Inside will be a shell. We are going through the motions. Haqiqat and reality has come out. And when it comes to this amal of Hajj also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 14 centuries ago warned us, Ya'ti alannasi zama'un zamanun takunu tahujju aghniya ummati littanazzu wa awsatuhum littijara wa fuqara'uhum lilmas'ala wa qurra'uhum lilriya'i wassuma. Qadi Shureyh, in the tafsir of this hadith, already 12 centuries ago, he said, Al-Hujjaj Qaleel, Wal-Rukman Kathir. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ummat, for the rich people, Hajj and Umrah will be a holiday. Take a thermometer and look within ourselves. How many of us try to rationalize unbelievable israf, wastage on some so-called compulsory vacation to some exotic destination by making an umrah stopover on the way? Do we even think, do we even consider what are the seeds that we are planting in the lives of our children? What is their attitude going to be to those mubarak places? My Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a time will come for the wealthy, Hajj and Umrah will become a holiday. Tanazzo, some touring expedition. He said for the middle classes, it will become a commercial enterprise. For the poor, a begging exercise. And even the ulama cautioned. He said, لِلْرِيَاءِ وَالسُّمْعَى. For the ulama, it will become a show of expedition. How many Hajj and how many Umrah certain Sheikh or certain Mawlana made. But what is the underlying meaning? The haqaiq of these a'mal will come out. And that is the point. If we understand what the mansha of something is, what my Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam want through something, then it is a hadaf. It's something that we can work towards. We can check, look within ourselves. Because when it comes, for example, to salah, Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Salah will save you from shamelessness and inequity. Zakat, Allah tells us in the Quran, Khudh min amwalihim sadaqatan tutahhiruhum wa tuzakihim biha. Zakat will purify your wealth. It will protect your wealth. When it comes to fasting, la'allakum tattaqoon. Allah says you will acquire taqwa. These are the other pillars of Islam. When it comes to Hajj, Allahu Akbar. Why? Because not only for the Hajis and those that are going for Umrah. The lessons that are attached to this, the benefit that is attached to it, there should be the shock, inclination, cry, pain in the heart of every believer to be going there again and again, whether he can afford it or not. Whether the circumstances are in favor or not. Because ulama say more important than the physical journey of Hajj, they say Sayrul Qulub. Sayrul Qulub. Ablagh min Sayril Abdan. They say the journey of the heart. Just now you'll read Juma Salah. Where are you going to face? What journey is your heart going to undertake? What is the respect, the shock, the love, the azmat of Kaabatullah in your heart? What is your connection with that place of barakah, hidayat, lil alameen? So ulama say, Sayrul Qulub, ablagh min Sayril Abdan. More important than the physical journey is the journey of the heart. The journey of the heart. There are many that will stand in front of the roza of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with some video camera. They will stand in front of the roza of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from head to toe there will be no sunnah. And there will be many that will be thousands of miles away, that on this day of Jummah they will not let the sun set unless they have sent at least 1,000 salawat upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you ask yourself the question, who is the true ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In Allah's court, what is it? Going there and breaking every sunnah, or having true love and bringing your life onto Sunnah even when you are thousands of miles away. Sayrul Qulub, the journey of the heart is more important than the physical journey. Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah used to warn us. He used to say Hajar-e-Aswad. He says when you make istilam of Hajar-e-Aswad, be very, very careful. This is not just some stone. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Nazal al-hajar al-aswad min al-jannah. Nazal al-hajar al-aswad min al-jannah. Wa hiya ashaddu bayadan min al-laban. He said Hajar al-aswad is not a stone from Makkah. It is a stone from Jannat. It is a stone from Jannat. It came down, it was sent down. And when it was sent down, it was whiter than milk. Walakin, sawadathu khataya bani Adam. Why is it black? We call it black stone. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the sins of humanity is what blackened the white stone from Jannah. In other words, what is the underlying meaning? There is another hadith attached to Hajar-e-Aswad, that if you have time, I will come to that. But this hadith, what is the meaning? Allah has kept the capability of that stone to make jazibiyat. Rasulullah is telling us that. It will consume within itself your sins. It will cleanse and purify you. This is why Azam Hussain Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi warned us. He said, Hajar-e-Aswad will seal your heart. It will seal your heart on what jazba and zeal is in your heart. At the time when you're making istilam of Hajar-e-Aswad, don't take this lightly. Your haziri, your presence at that supreme spot where Allah's mercy is descending torrentially. Your presence at that spot. What is the kafiyat of the heart? What brought you there? What is your intention? In connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, if you present yourself in Makkah and make istilam of Hajar-e-Aswad and your heart is soiled in dunya and dunyawi jazbat, He says that stone will seal your heart on that. If the shauk is Allah, like to complete that saying, Ibn Rajab Hanbali, rahimahullah, mentions it, Sayrul Qulub, Ablagh min Sayril Abdan. He said the journey of the heart is more important than the physical journey. Kam min wasilin bi badanihi ila al bayt wa qalbuhu munqati'un an rabbil bayt wa kam min qa'idin fi baytihi ala firashihi wa qalbuhu muttasilun bil mahallil a'la. He says how many they are. Like Qazi Shurey rahimahullah, already in the second century said, the hajis and those that go for umrah are very, very few in number. Their numbers are very few. Ostensibly, this belies what is the reality. Like somebody said the other day, first Jummah, Allah knows best, first Jummah in Makkah, in Ramadan, the majma was 11 million. Whether it was 11 million or 8 million or 5 million, the issue. What is he saying? Hajis and mu'tamirin are very few. And the travelers and holiday makers and revel seekers are many. In other words, what is the kafiyat of the heart? What is the preparation? The journey, physical journey is not the objective. Objective is the journey of the heart. Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahullah goes on. He says, how many have physically reached there? How many have physically reached there? Yet, at the time of Zohar, he's sleeping in his hotel. At the time of Asr, he's gone for some shopping expedition. We're not here to run anybody down. But how many have physically reached there? But not for one second is their heart connected to the Rabb of Kaabatullah. And how many are sitting on their beds thousands of kilometers away at the time of tahajjud, shedding those hot, hot tears. Ya Allah, mujhe waha poncha de. Ya Allah, take me. Ya Allah, open the way for me. Ya Allah, it's not my wealth. It's not my accreditation. It's not my technological know-how. It's not some government organization. Ya Allah, it is your invitation. And this, coming back to that verse of the Quran that I recited in the beginning. وَأَذِّنْ وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ
This is the beauty of Quran. Adhin. This is from Bab Taf'il. Bar bar. The same word adhin is used for adhan. Adhan is not once. Adhan is over and over again. Here, who is being commanded? Jaddul Anbiya. Jaddul Anbiya. The grandfather of Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. From whose progeny 4,000 Anbiya came. From whose progeny Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. Khalilullah. He reached that maqam, that status. Ittakhadallahu Ibrahima Khalila. Allah made him his Khalil. Only one other personality enjoys that same status of being Khalilullah, and that is our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Besides that, only Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wattakhadallahu Ibrahim Khalila. Ibrahim is commanded. Adhin finnas bilhajj. Make elan. Issue the invitation. To who? To who? Lil Muslimin. Lil Muslimin al Aghniya al Asikha. Technically, Hajj is farz upon who? Those that can afford it. And even if you can afford it, and you are not healthy, you are sick, disabled, infirm, then too it's not farz. Technically, it's farz only if you can afford it, and you are healthy, you are able to undertake the journey. Yet, what does Allah command Ibrahim alayhi salam? Adhin finnas. Give the invitation finnas. Again, the beauty of Quran. The word fi doesn't make sense in this context. What is fi? Just now the brother filled this cup. That's exactly what you do. You take a cup and you fill it. In Arabic, that's the word that's used. Fill something fi. Fill it up. Allah is telling Ibrahim alayhi salam, fill the hearts of humanity with this invitation. Adhin finnas. In other words, don't just invite. Don't just invite. The heart of who you are calling should be brimming over with the azmat of Ka'batullah. Fill the majesty and the grandeur of this place in the hearts of humanity. Adhin finnas bil hajj. Call them for hajj. And then, what it should have been, ya'tuni, they will come to me. Why? It is Ka'batullah, it is Allah's house. You are going for hajj, why? Yet, what does Allah say? Ya'tuka, ya'tuka, they will come to you. They will come to you. The underlying symbolism of this verse is that each person till Qiyamah is being told, we have made this Mubarak Nabi your host. Ibrahim alayhi salam is issuing the invitation on behalf of Allah. Jaddul Anbiya, they will come to you. That is why elsewhere in the Quran, normally when something important is to take place, you decorate the place. You get it ready. To get that house ready, to get the haram ready, not just Ibrahim alayhi salam, Zabihullah, Ismail alayhi salam, the grandfather of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both are commanded, Tahira, Bayti, Littaifeen, Wal-Aakifeen, Wal-Rukka, Wal-Sujood. You tell your so-and-so is coming, clean the house. Masturat will be careful, there mustn't be one speck of dust. The more important the guest, the more careful you are. It is almost, this is almost literal translation. Allah took the broomstick and the detergents, put it in the hand of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam and commanded them, Tahira, purify, Bayti, my house, for those that are coming for Hajj. For those that are coming for Umrah, for those that will come and make Ruku, for those that will come and make Sajda, look at the maqam and status that Allah is affording those who are accepted to go there. How much shock should be in our hearts? Like I said, it is not accreditation. It is the talab of the heart. Take this out of the mind that I can afford it or I can't afford it. Al-Hujjaj wal-Ummar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Haji, the one who comes for Umrah, Wafdullah. These are the delegation of Allah. These are the people of Allah. Wafdullah. Those that have been, Allah take us again and again. You would have noticed these flags and banners. They put there, Marhaban biduyufir Rahman. Marhaba biduyufir Rahman. Welcome, Mubarak, Khushamdeed. To who? Biduyufir Rahman. To the guest of Rahman. Allah's guest. Look at the analogy. Al-Hujjaj wal-Ummar wafdullah. These are the people of Allah. What is their maqam? Yu'tihim ma sa'alu. Yu'tihim ma sa'alu. Whatever they ask, Allah will give it to them. Whatever they ask, Allah will give it to them. Yastajibu lahum ma da'u. Whatever dua they make, why they are the people of Allah. They are the guests of Allah. And yukhlifu alayhim ma anfaqu. I digressed earlier. Salah, two benefits are mentioned in the Quran. Zakat, two benefits. Fasting, one benefit. When it comes to Hajj, Allah doesn't mention one, two, three, four, five benefits. What does Allah say about this fifth pillar of Islam? لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ لِيَشْهَدُوا. Quran uses the word يَشْهَدُوا. You will see. You will witness. Don't be in any doubt. لِيَشْهَدُوا. How many benefits? مَنَافِعَ. مَنَافِعَ. Many, many, many benefits and gestures and kindness and compassion from Allah are linked to Hajj. One benefit is mentioned in this hadith. Haji, Mu'tamir, these are the delegation of Allah. What they ask, Allah will give them. What dua they make, Allah will accept. And whatever expense is incurred in this journey of Hajj will be paid back. Not paid back according to your mayyar. Your and my mayyar is one for one. Then to half the time we renege. Allah's mayyar for 10. But when it comes to Hajj, Rasulullah SAW said, every dirham you spend, Allah will give you back 1,000,000 times. 1,000,000 times. Sitting on a minbar of the masjid. Don't take this lightly. Because a lot of us like statistics. I am prepared to challenge. By the qasam of my Allah. Bring one person that became poor because of Hajj and Umrah. Bring one person. One person that became poor because of Hajj and Umrah. This is Allah's promise. Yukhlifu alayhim. Because you are not coming there because of anybody's accreditation. You are not coming there because of your financial circumstances. By the qasam of my Allah, you will see people even up till today. You will wonder how the man is even walking. Forget how he came there. You will see elderly women, abject poverty, yet they are there. You will see people, you are coming last minute for namaz. You will see people walking hours beforehand. Making sure every salah, they are there in the haram. Their poverty, their lack of financial status, evident. Why? Because it is not my or your invitation, it is Allah's invitation. And when was this invitation given? When Ibrahim alayhi salam is commanded, Adhin fin nas, he said, Wama yablugu sawti. Ya Allah, this is not Makkah of today. This is Makkah of 5,000 years ago. This is black arid mountains. Jabal Abi Qubais, Jabal Marwa, Jabal Safa, Jabal Umar or whatever name it had that time. Mountains. No vegetation. No source of livelihood. Because of Zamzam, the Jurhum tribe, few people had started settling there. Other than that, nobody. And Allah is saying, call the whole world. فَصَعِدَ جَبَلَ أَبِي قُبَيْسِ Ibrahim a.s. climbed onto the mountain of Abu Qubays. وَمَا يَبْلُغُ صَوْتِي Ya Allah, how is my voice going to reach? Allah says, أَذِّن وَعَلَيَّ الْبَلَاغُ Ibrahim, you issue the invitation. Conveying that invitation is my responsibility. Ya Yohannas, look at the wording. Allah says, call the whole world. Call the whole world. So, Ya Yohannas, Inna Allah, Qad Amarakum, Bihajji Hazal Bayt. O humanity, Allah has commanded you with the Hajj of Kaabatullah. Why? Allah needs you to spend? No. Allah wants you to go through the hardship that is attached to this journey? No. Why? Why is Allah calling you? لِيُثِيبَكُمْ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَيُجِيرَكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ Another explanation of this verse. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ Allah says you will see many, many benefits. One benefit, tawbah. One benefit, maghfirat. One benefit, what does this mean? Change. And this is the irony. Many of us have this mindset. I'm talking to those upon whom Hajj is farz. I'll get my children married. I'll get my family settled. I'll sort my business things out. Then I'll go for Hajj. Come out of that mindset. Hajj is supposed to bring a change in our lives. Change is when you are young, not when you are old. Today, unfortunately, majority of the Hajjis are elderly people. The youth have this mindset, delay, delay, delay. Such a warning my Nabi gave. Rahmatul lil alameen. He said, if Hajj is farz upon you, don't delay, don't delay, don't delay. And we see with every passing year, Allah knows best. One time it was easy, now it's becoming more and more difficult. When we had the opportunity, we didn't go, we delayed. My Nabi said, that person who dies in such a condition, فَلَا عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَمُوتَ يَهُودِيًا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًا Literal translation of this, sometimes I fright to do the correct translation. But there's no other way of saying this. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that ummati of mine, upon whom Hajj was farz, and he did not carry out that Hajj, I don't care whether he dies as a Yahudi or a Nasrani. Who is saying this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't care whether he dies as a Yahudi or a Nasrani. So this idea of delay, take it out of our minds and hearts. Do everything within your ability. Not asking you to break any laws. But do everything within your ability. And at the first chance, without delay, discharge this great obligation. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ Allah says, many, many benefits amongst them. لِيُثِيبَكُمْ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَيُجِيرَكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ 5,000 years ago, Ibrahim a.s. already announced that the return for this Hajj is that Allah will give you Jannat. Allah will save you from Jahannam. And what did my Nabi say? رَجَعَ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ You will return like on the day your mother gave birth to you. Allah will wipe away all your sins. This will wrought a change in your life. Unfortunately, I've run out of time. There are many, many other aspects. If Allah Ta'ala gives life an opportunity, inshallah we'll continue.